The Desert Healthcare District and Foundation presents a podcast that supports your health and wellness where you live. This is Healthy Desert, Healthy You, hosted by Will Dean. Now, here's Will.
Hello, friends. Today, I have a very special guest. His name is Ryan Sendejas. He is a climate change assessment lead author with UC Riverside Environmental Science. Welcome, Ryan.
Howdy, howdy.
So your title, that's a mouthful. Would you tell us the gist of what you do?
So as lead author for the California Climate Change Assessment, I pretty much like the project manager for the assessment for the Inland Deserts region.
Okay.
I am working with a team of research scientists, predominantly through UCR, to assess the impacts of climate change within the region and what some communities are doing to build resiliency. And so coordinating with the researchers, working with community partners like yourself, pretty much.
That's really important work. We have an environmental health initiative, and so we're dealing a lot with climate change. And every year we have a environmental health summit in September. So I hope that you can be a part of that.
I registered today.
Excellent. Love that. So for our listeners, how do you define climate change? It's a term that we hear a lot, but from an expert like you, how do you define it?
So first off, I like to distinct, climate change and anthropogenic climate change. Naturally, our planet has oscillations between heating and cooling periods.
Yes.
Which is, can be statistically, kind of like proven to be like a cycle. But what we are experiencing currently with anthropogenic climate change is a little different. So with anthropogenic climate change, we are experiencing warming or changing of climate, like in regional, zones where that onsets are being created through greenhouse gas emissions predominantly.
Predominantly greenhouse gas. Okay. So the big question, or one of the big questions for you today, is global climate change reversible? And I ask that because for decades now, we've been hearing the warning messages about we have this much time to reverse it. So I wanted to find out from you what your thoughts on that.
It's a very complex question and even more complex answer. but to get to the gist of it, no.
No, interesting.
So climate change, as we know it, like it's already happening. We're already experiencing it. We're already seeing it. It's something that is observable and measurable. So, kind of think of it as like, we have a giant boulder that's rolling down a mountain.
Okay.
We can't move the mountain, but we can, plan for the future and start to make changes to lessen of the impact of that boulder as it's coming down that hill.
Can we slow it down? We can't slow it down. We can just prepare for it.
We can slow it down.
Okay.
But it's going to take a lot of effort. We're going to have to be reducing of our overall greenhouse gas emissions. Slow down of deforestation and actually do reforestation. But climate change as we know it is here. Polar ice caps are melting, temperatures on average are getting a little bit warmer, and we're starting to see more, weather systems that are not as, common.
Okay. So what is the most impactful deterrent to reversing climate change? I mean, just something is too late or...
It's nothing's too late. I think it's always important to have hope.
Okay.
And, making change that we can change. And, the change that we can't, we shouldn't like dwell on it and put our heads in the sand.
Okay.
But one major way that we can is reducing the greenhouse gas emissions and being mindful of, those sort of systems that contribute to that.
I'm glad you said that about hope because I think a lot of people get scared, anxious about it, especially when they hear the reports and the experts talking about it. So, yeah,
climate fatigue is a thing. It's hard.
For our listeners, you know, in their everyday lives, what can they be doing to help eliminate, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, other ways of actually slowing this down?
It's, you know, again, it's a complex answer, but like the reality is like together when we group together, like we are much stronger and more impactful. So I think by advocating for reductions in greenhouse gas emissions, looking at, you know, the big picture of like our society and how we function in regards to transportation, warehouses, production, and overall energy production and agriculture systems, by making small changes here and there, over, you know, decades, if not centuries, that's how we are going to be able to adapt.
Okay. So when it comes to air quality here in the Coachella Valley, I'm not sure how familiar you are with it, but we've been hearing a lot that Tropical Storm Hilary in August 2023 really worsened air quality for us. Is that something that you agree with, or what are your thoughts on that?
So Tropical Storm Hilary is like, you know, like a once in like 50 to 100 year storm, but due to like the warming in the oceans, and increased greenhouse gas emissions, those like anomalies, those rare occurrences, are becoming more frequent. It's not that like Hilary was like, you know, caused by climate change necessarily, but it was like, you know, the impacts of Hilary really kind of opened up people's eyes of like, oh, like climate change is a thing.
Right.
Climate change is here. And so it's something that we should really be more mindful of.
Right.
When we start to see of, you know, these weather occurrences that we don't experience all the time. And in regards to air quality in the Coachella Valley, we have some of, you know, the worst air quality in California in this area. Rates of respiratory diseases amongst children are twice as high compared to the rest of the country. You know, the Salton Sea, there is a lot of issues with the Salton Sea that we should be really working on here and now. I'm not sure if you guys know about the dust from the Salton Sea.
Yes, we've had a few guests on the podcast talk about that.
Yeah, and there's also a recent discovery from UCR about bacteria in the Salton Sea potentially aerosolizing and not being and being a breathe like a, you know, being also an attributor to respiratory diseases amongst people in the area.
Right.
So
yeah. It sounds like many factors were already at play. And so Tropical Storm Hilary had a lot to work with when that rare occurrence happened.
Yep. It's a compounding tectonic pressures,
right,
from all the way.
And because of the conditions that we have now, would you say, I mean, you can't predict what's going to happen, but would you say we might have more frequent occurrences of a Tropical Storm Hilary?
I can't predict it with like my, I can't predict that those things will occur, but we do have climatologists that are building models who look at, you know, climate and weather patterns, and it's likely that they will happen, but you know, I can't tell the future.
So we are a very diverse community here in the Coachella Valley. So I wanted to ask you about the role that social equity, excuse me, has in how we're impacted by climate change.
Oh, definitely. You know, like with any system, whether, you know, it would be climate or economic.
Life,
you know, those, you know, who are socially disadvantaged or come from a minority group tend to be impacted heavier than other groups of people. Mm-hmm. You know, some people might have the resources and the means to leave from extreme heat places or from areas that were that have fires, but not everyone could get on that arc and leave.
Right.
And so those, you know, who come from the migrant community, those who might be socially, economically disadvantaged, so on and so forth, will definitely feel the impacts more. You know, for those who are migrant workers in the fields who deal with the heat all day and every day, they will definitely be feeling the heat as time progresses, and they are currently feeling that heat now. You know, here in the, you know, the city of Coachella, you know, it's hot and will continue to get hot. And those who, you know, who can't leave or don't, you know, want to deal with those impacts, there's really not much out there that they could really do about it.
Right. So it seems to me that the desert is definitely getting hotter during the summer as well.
Oh, definitely.
So we think about the desert being hot in general, but I've been here a while, more than 15 years. And so I have noticed it myself. Every summer we tend to have more days that are 120 and above.
Yep. Extreme heat is a huge factor within this current assessment that we are doing. You know, historically in this area, I don't have the numbers right here in front of me, but for extreme heat days, any day that's above like 110, you know, historically this area has had, I think it was about 10 to 12 days on average. In about 50 years, we are predicting that there'll be about a third of the year will be over 110 or higher. And, you know, this past summer, you guys had one extreme heat day of 120. Mm-hmm. We're predicting that you guys will at least have like a month in the next 50 years to 100 years. That will be, you know, 1 month.
A month where a lot of people will not be here. But then there are those disadvantaged people you talk about who have nowhere else to go or don't have the means to go.
Yeah.
Elsewhere.
Yeah. And also like looking at your guys' you know, social structures, the power grid, can it handle that?
Right.
Can your guys' hospitals handle that?
Yes.
You know, like on average, you know, like when, like a, not on average, but like in the city of Coachella, like last year, 27 people died due to extreme heat.
27.
Yes. Okay. And I think it was like on average, it was about like 1,000 people go to the hospital due to heat related illnesses directly or from responses due to their medications.
1,000 people here in the Valley, Coachella Valley.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay. So going back to your topic of hope, what can people who are disadvantaged, as you've talked about, what can they begin to do to help themselves, help their community? You mentioned advocacy being one way. Is that probably the most effective thing they can do? And by advocacy, you mean what?
I think just like beginning by like having like an honest conversation with people. I think that's like the number one thing with like any problem that you have is, you know, to like reach out to those in your community to talk about it, you know, get everyone on the same page and then, you know, start to build, you know, coalitions behind it that might take an intersectional approach, you know, having working groups or discussion groups who talk about, you know, what we can do here locally, you know, what we could do with our local governments and state and national level as well.
Okay. I was going to ask about that. So when you say work together, you mean bringing together residents, but also city leaders and also environmental experts and advocates and bringing everyone together?
Yes.
Okay.
With, you know, with such a large issue, we are going to need everyone.
Collaboration.
Yep.
Yeah. So tell me, what's next for you? What are you working on?
We just wrapped up our like community engagement events over the past like 2-3 months. We've been having community discussions on high heat, particularly, and its impacts on community health. We built out a whole website platform where people in the Coachella Valley in the Inland Deserts region could tell us their stories with how they are being impacted by high heat and how it's affecting their health.
Okay.
Or them personally. And right. We are asking people, what do they imagine for building climate resiliency here in our area?
Impact on health. You mentioned how we see, I think, twice as many respiratory illnesses as a result of the climate here. What other impacts are you seeing in terms of health?
Increased eczema, respiratory diseases, skin cancer, eyesight, increased blood pressure. A lot of people who are on diabetes medications, a lot of people don't know that there's adverse effects when they're exposed to heat.
Oh.
Same thing with heart blood pressure medications, birthing complications.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty widespread.
Yes.
You mentioned eyesight. What happens?
So when it gets hotter, particularly in this area, a lot of dust is aggregated into the atmosphere and it's not really good for your eyes.
Right. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Where can our listeners learn more about your work that you're doing with UCR Environmental Science?
Yeah. So you guys could go to our website, inlanddesertsclimateassessment.com, to learn more. If anyone has any particular questions, you could drop on the page to ask a question. It goes directly to our email server list, and we respond there. We will be hosting events throughout the area over the next year. So you could look out for our events page.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much, Ryan. Really appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys.
For all you listening, be well.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. This podcast is a production of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation in Palm Springs, California. For more information, please visit the website dhcd.org. Our annual conference site is healthydeserthealthyyou.com. This podcast is available at most major podcast portals, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube Music. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe.